Today we're going to be hearing from another Homiletics 2 student, Nathaniel Carlson, and he's prepared long and hard for this, so I'm sure it's going to be a blessing, and I'm just going to ask him to come up so I can pray for him. Dear Lord, I just ask that you be with Nathaniel, Lord. Thank you for anointing him and allowing him to bring your word this morning. May this not be the end of our worship, Lord, but just the beginning, Lord. May we continue to worship through the bringing of your word, and I just ask that all the hearts here are prepared for your word, Lord. May we take it to heart. May we use it throughout this week and throughout our lives. And I just ask that you calm Nathaniel now. Just give him peace. Speak through him and speak clearly, Lord, so that we might hear you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
A grizzly bear can run 30 miles an hour. And that's pretty fast. Cal and Marcus can probably run around 23, 24. The fastest human can run about 26, maybe 27. But a grizzly bear can run 30 miles an hour. Another animal, an elk, can run 45 miles an hour. That's 15 miles an hour faster than a grizzly bear. But for some reason, grizzly bears kill elk. And that seems a little weird to me, but I found out that in Yellowstone, every year, that 60% of the elk that die are killed by grizzly bears. And that seemed weird as I thought about it, because I thought the elk can run 15 miles an hour faster than the bears, so that's weird. But then I remembered something I saw as a kid that kind of made that make more sense to me. And when I was little, I went to Yellowstone, and I watched a grizzly bear kill an elk. And what happened was there was this big herd of elk. Elk travel in herds, hundreds, even sometimes thousands, but there were probably a few hundred in this herd. And the bear didn't approach them from behind because all the elk could have ran one direction 15 miles an hour faster than the bear could run. And the bear wouldn't have gotten elk. But what happened was the bear came, if this is the herd, you guys are the herd, I'm an elk, or no, I'm a bear. And the bear came at the middle of the herd, and so it separated the herd, and they couldn't all run in the same direction. Half went to the left, and half went to the right, and the bear was in the middle. And even though the elk are able to run 45 miles an hour, they didn't, because since the bear had divided the herd, there was a conflict of interest. They wanted to get away from the grizzly, but they wanted to stay together as a herd. There were mothers and their calves on this side, and they wanted to get back, and they were calling back and forth, and the herd was divided. There was a conflict of interest, and pretty soon, because the elk didn't use their abilities to run 45 miles an hour because they wanted to do both, they wanted to escape, but they wanted to stay together, the herd was divided, and pretty soon, the bear had an elk down, and he ate it. We're not elk, we're people, but in our own lives, personally, and in the life of the body, as a community of believers, it's very possible for us to be divided, like the herd of elk. And just like the elk, when we're divided, we aren't able to run, we aren't able to perform and to follow Jesus the way we really can when we're together. And usually this happens when there's a conflict of interest. We've seen what this looks like when there's a conflict of interest between two groups, and we have all sorts of different church splits that happen. But individually, when there's a conflict of interest, it usually means we really want to follow Jesus, but man, we really, if we're honest with ourselves, want some other things too. And so there's a conflict of interest, and we're divided. Being divided keeps us from following Jesus. But today we're going to see that God has a solution. He's given us his word, and he's given us the spirit to engage division that will come. Whether it's division in our hearts that tries to separate us from truly following Jesus, or whether it's dividing of the body, we have the spirit and the word. So that's what we're going to see today. But before we go further, let's stop and let's pray. Yeah, Lord, thank you that you've given us your word and your spirit. I pray that you would teach us today, teach me, and give us undivided hearts to follow you, Jesus. In your name, amen. So this is my fourth sermon ever. Maybe not ever, but in the series that I'm doing in homiletics. And I'm going through the book of Jude. So if you take your Bible and turn to Jude, it's a small book. It's one chapter. It's right before Revelation, second to last book in the Bible. And just for a little background, so you know what's happening in Jude, there were people that came into the early church, and they were dividing it. They had a false message that didn't line up with the gospel of Jesus. They were saying, well, they were questioning whether or not Jesus was God, and they were also saying that the grace of God is a license for sin. So what that means is, since God is gracious, we can sin as much as we want. And that's not the way it is. God is gracious, but that's not the way it is. So they were saying that, and they were separating the physical life from the spiritual life. And they were saying, God only cares about our spirits. And so if we devote our spirits and our minds to religion, we're good, and the body's going to perish, so it really doesn't matter what we do with it. So that means we can do all these things. So that's what was happening. These people were coming into the church, and they had a false message that was dividing. And so that's why Jude wrote this letter. So we're going to pick up today, verses 17 through 19. And Jude says, "But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, 'In the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit.'" So Jude calls these guys that are dividing, he calls them scoffers. And what that means is, the research I did said, scoffers are people that are characterized by selfishness. And they scoff at the message of the gospel because it doesn't meet their selfish needs. And these people, it says, followed their own ungodly desires. They followed their natural instincts. Jude says in the last verse that they didn't have the Spirit. So that's their situation. Our situation, hopefully at Barclay, I don't think we have false teachers who are trying to divide us and teach us a false gospel. I think for the most part, we're learning the truth here, and I'm thankful for that. But if I'm honest with myself, I really don't need false teachers to divide my own heart. And if you're honest with yourselves, I think we all have things that we could say, man, I've got my own ungodly desires. I have my own natural instincts, things in my life that aren't of the Spirit that divide my heart from being a heart that is single-mindedly following Jesus. I think we all have that if we're honest. It's true that we all want to follow Jesus. I hope that's true. None of us want to deliberately disobey God. At least we shouldn't. But also, we can admit that we all have things in our lives that don't line up with our desire to follow Jesus. We all have other desires. Maybe for you it's possessions. Maybe there's things that you want that are just more important to you sometimes than following Jesus. Maybe it's a certain status or identity that you wish to achieve. You want people to view you a certain way rather than following Jesus first and foremost. So maybe it's ways of acting. Maybe it's ways of treating others that you want to follow Jesus, but you also really want to just make your own decisions on how you think about other people. Maybe it's entertainment. Maybe you want to follow Jesus, but you're divided because you also just really love these forms of entertainment that, if you're honest with yourselves, don't bring glory and honor to Jesus. In Jude's day, the false teachers would have said that that's okay. It's okay to be governed by your own sinful desires because, remember, they said the body doesn't matter. It's going to perish. And so whatever we do with our bodies, it's okay. And God's grace is going to cover it. And in a similar way, it can be easy to think, man, I really love God. He knows I want to serve Him. So certainly He can understand that this is just part of me. This is part of my life. All those things that we talked about that don't line up with following Jesus. And it's easy to think that, but I don't know. I don't think that's the way we're supposed to rely on God's grace. He is very gracious, and He loves us more than we can know. And He has more mercy for our sin than we can imagine. But Romans 6:1-2 says, "Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase. And Paul says, by no means. He says, no way. No way. We should have undivided hearts to follow Jesus because of his great love for us. Shouldn't we follow him that way? So we can see the problem. We all have stuff in our lives that gives us divided hearts. And like the herd of elk, the only way the herd is going to escape is if they're all single-minded in doing the same thing, and if they all use their ability to run 45 miles an hour in the same direction. And if they don't do that, they're going to die, or at least one of them will. And even so, unless we're single-minded in our following of Jesus, there's going to be sin that we get entangled in and things that keep us from following Jesus. And when our hearts are divided, when our body is divided, we're in the dangerous path of the grizzly bear of sin that drags us away from the path that Jesus wants us to be on. So, we don't need to be divided, but we can't do that by ourselves. We can't just decide, I'm going to have an undivided heart that follows Jesus. We can't do it by ourselves because we're sinful and we need the grace and we need the enabling of the Holy Spirit. The hope is God has given us his word and he's given us his spirit to engage division that will come. So the first part is God's given us his word. Let's look at Jude again. The first thing that happens here in this passage we're looking at is these men are coming and they're teaching a false gospel and they're trying to divide. And the first thing that Jude says to the church is he says, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus said. The first thing he does is he reminds them of the words that they've heard from the apostles. And in the same way, when there's something that comes in your life or in my life that would seek to divide me, divide my heart, the first place I want to turn is the word. I want to remember what the apostles said and remember the word of God. The same instruction is needed for me. Not just because it's a good word to remember, but Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is living and active. I want to remember it because it works, because I need it. 1 Timothy 3:16 says all scripture is God-breathed and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So Scripture is useful in equipping us for every good work, even the good work of resisting the things that come at our hearts to try to divide us and keep us from following Jesus with an undivided heart. We have the Word. As I was thinking about this, I thought of an example, and it comes from my own personal life. I'm engaged, okay? And that's pretty good. Even if it doesn't fit into the sermon, that's cool. But it does fit in. And in my relationship with Leanne, in the time we've been together, I've written her a couple love letters. And a couple is exactly right. I've written her two. I've written her a lot of letters, but there's been these two big ones that I can think of where, like, all the rest were these nice little short, hi Leanne, letters. But there's been two times that I really like, I just took out my heart and rubbed it all over a piece of paper. And I gave it to her. And she loved it. And on Valentine's Day this past year, I was talking with Leanne. And she told me, she said, I read those letters all the time, Nathaniel. I read them all the time. And it kind of shocked me. I thought, really? I thought you would read them when I gave them to you, but I didn't know you took them out all the time and read them. And so I asked her, I said, why? Why do you do that? And Leanne told me that she reads them all the time because it reminds me, reminds her, of where she stands with me. And it reminds her that I love her. It gives her confidence, she told me, to continue in relationship with me. And in the same way, we could do the parallel that God's word is a love letter for us, and that's true. But the parallel that I want to get at here is, in the same way, when we're in the word that God has given us, we have confidence to continue in relationship with him. Does that follow? So God's given us his word, and it gives us confidence to continue living in a relationship with him, and it gives us all we need to keep living with undivided hearts for Jesus. So God's given us his word. He's also given us his spirit, because on our own we can't do the word. We can't obey it on our own abilities. So God has given us his spirit, which enables us. The last section of this little passage in Jude, Jude says, these men who are dividing, he says, they don't have the spirit. The things that come and the people that come into our hearts and into our lives and into our body that want to divide us, we can know clearly from here. Those things aren't of the spirit. But if we've trusted Jesus and if we have his spirit, this is hard to believe. If we've trusted him and allowed his blood to cover our sins and accepted that, we have his spirit. And sometimes I doubt that and I feel like, do I really? Does the Holy Spirit live in me? But that's the truth. Jesus has died for us, and if we've accepted that and believed and put our faith in him, we have his spirit. So we don't just have the word, this guide telling us how to deal with it. We have the enabling of the spirit that gives us the ability to resist division that comes at our hearts. John 14:26, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit, and he says, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send, the Counselor, he will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. He says he will teach you all things, and I think that includes he will teach you what to do when there's things in your lives that would divide your heart. And he says the Spirit will remind us of everything that he said to us. So the Spirit's also going to remind us of the Word. The Spirit and the Word, they work together. John 16:13 says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. And he will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. So the Spirit's going to guide us into all truth. Even the truth of, hey, I want an undivided heart that follows me. And the truth of, here's how to do it. I'm going to enable you. The Spirit will guide us into that. And if we look at Romans 8, Romans 8 is all about life in the Spirit. And we'll start with verse 12. It says, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature, to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So can we see the division? There's life by the Spirit and life by the sinful nature. And we can see that, man, we've got both going on. And the call is, Jesus says, if anyone comes after me, he must deny himself. The call is to put to death the deeds of the body and to have, we have this divided heart and to have an undivided heart that only follows Jesus. But we can't do that by ourselves. If we look again in Romans, it says, put to death the misdeeds of the body. But it doesn't just say to do that. It says, by the Spirit, you must put to death the misdeeds of the body. Not by yourself. You can't do it. But because of the Holy Spirit in us, we are able to. So we've been given the Word, and we've been given the Spirit to engage division that comes on our heart and efforts to divide us from following Jesus. But it doesn't stop there. We know that James tells us, don't just listen to the Word, do what it says. And so it's not enough just to have the Word. It's not enough to have the Spirit. We have to be willing to be obedient to what the Word says and to allow the Holy Spirit to direct us and to guide us into following Jesus with an undivided heart. So this is going to be a little bit of a stretch, but we're going to go back to the elk herd, and this is going to take some imagination. But pretend that your heart is a herd of elk, okay? And that doesn't really make sense. But your heart is a big elk herd. And imagine that each elk in the herd represents a different part of your heart. So you've got one elk that represents the fact that, man, we really love Jesus and we want to follow him. And then we have this other elk that represents the fact that I have desires for relationship, be it romantic relationships or just friendships or anything. I have desire for a relationship. Another elk represents maybe a desire we have for possessions or for or for a certain identity we want. And you can name all the areas. Entertainment. What are the other things we talked about? The way we treat people. The Lord is calling us to say, man, I want all those elk, all those areas of your heart. We sang today, all that is within, I surrender. He doesn't just want the part of us that says, I want to follow Jesus. The Lord wants an undivided heart that says, in every area of my life, Lord, man, I want to follow you. And you've given me your word that reminds me and teaches me how, and you've given me your spirit, which can enable me to do it, because I can't do it on my own. And when there's areas in our heart that aren't in line with that, and that don't want to follow Jesus, we have a divided heart, and there's a problem. And we need the Lord to call us back to an undivided following of him. And we can see a time in the Old Testament when this happened. And it's really neat to me. It's in Ezekiel, and you can turn there if you like. It's Ezekiel 11. The people of Israel were divided. They followed these idols, and they were mixing these other gods into their worship, but they also claimed the God of Israel as their God. So they were divided in their hearts. And there came a time when God asked them not to over and over, but in Ezekiel 11:18, God talks about what happens when the people say, we're done being divided, away with the idols, we're going to follow God. And God says he'll give them back their land, verse 17. Then he says, they will return and remove all its vile images and detestable idols. Then God says, I will give them an undivided heart. I will. God will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. And so that's the call today is, man, when you think about all the little elk in your heart, in your elk herd heart, there's a lot that you know really love Jesus and want to follow him. But there's probably a few. I know there's a lot in my life that I've recognized they're divided. They're going an opposite way, but my heart wants to be going the same way as a unit, and so I'm really not going anywhere. And I'm just frustrated. I mean, I think of just a simple example is, the Lord's convicted me that I want to be spending some time with him in the mornings, which I don't do very well. So I have a desire to do that, but man, I really have this other desire to stay up late at night and waste time. I really have that desire. And they don't go together, and my heart's divided, and I really don't get much out of either. And the Lord is calling me to say, submit that part to me as well, Nathaniel, and then you can follow me with an undivided heart. And it's not because you can do it. If we look in Ezekiel, it says, I will give them an undivided heart. So that's the word today. Allow the Lord to show you the areas of your heart that aren't in line with him, to show you where your heart is divided from following him, and to allow him to give you an undivided heart that says, in every area, I want to follow Jesus. So I'm going to pray, and then Jake, if you would come, and we can sing Surrender one more time to close the service, that'd be good. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your love that sees us where we are and loves us where we are. Thank you that you've given us your word to live by, and thank you that you've given us your spirit that enables us to obey your word and to walk with you. I pray that today you would convict us of those things in our lives that are dividing our hearts from following you. And I pray that we would be obedient to leaving those things behind. And I pray that then you would give us, as you promise, an undivided heart to follow you, Lord. We love you. In your name, amen.